Chapter 2. What is Sanatan Dharma? Sanatan Dharma comprises those timeless truths which are rooted in eternity. They predate the forming of the world and cannot be confined to any one earthly religion. Sanatan Dharma embraces indeed all of manifested existence. Its manifestation in India is unlike other religions in that it was not a teaching by any one master, but expresses the essence of age-old revealed wisdom. Christians consider themselves to possess the only divine revelation, which they name the Holy Bible. This belief shows a misunderstanding of the very word revelation. The Bible, which is a mere statement, cannot convey the experience of truth, which alone is the real meaning of revelation. Wisdom does not contradict itself. All great masters attain the same vision of truth, one and eternal, which we call God. Divine vision transcends sectarian differences. It is this direct vision of timeless truth which forms the basis of Sanatana Dharma. That truth reminds man of who and what he is, a divine soul forever indestructible. The true purpose of religion, then, is to show man how to find eternal freedom in God. Jesus Christ said it for all true seekers, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Matthew 5:48. Perfection is the goal of every true religion. Perfection is a state of existence, not of mere belief. The Bhagavad Gita, from this point of view, is a revealed scripture, but it emphasizes the need for inner revelation, without which no words can suffice to explain wisdom. Great masters in every religion, having perceived God, the Supreme Being, directly, have emphasized again and again in every language that the Supreme Spirit is the essence of everything there is. Many true masters have pointed out that there are countless paths to divine attainment. Indeed, the paths may be described as numbering as many as there are human beings in this world, for everyone must begin his search for enlightenment from his own point of understanding, an understanding determined by his human characteristics, which the Bhagavad Gita expounds. Briefly, they are devotion, right action, meditation, and wisdom or discrimination. The names of the great world religions, of which Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, and Islam are the main ones, can be misleading if they are not seen to express the spiritual needs of their times. Truth needs to be explained according to the understanding of the people for whom it is taught. Buddha came at a time when the people had come to depend on Vedic rituals to the point where they expected divine favors by merely repeating rituals and word formulae, without any effort devoted to personal purification or self-transformation. Their belief might be classed as mere superstition. Buddha did not speak against the Vedas as such. He spoke against people's excessive dependence on their outward practices. Jesus came when the Jewish people thought that only by obedience to religious rules, again without self-purification, would they please God. Muhammad came to a people who were steeped in superstitious idolatry, again without belief in the need for self-purification. Within Hinduism itself, great masters have come repeatedly with the mission of correcting misunderstandings and distortions of the subtle truths of Sanatana Dharma. Swami Shankaracharya came to correct the misunderstanding prevalent among Buddhists of his time that there is no God. God exists, he declared, but he has no eternal form. He is Satchidananda, ever-existing, ever-conscious, ever-new bliss, as Paramhansa Yogananda translated the term. In every religion there are various moods, as they might be called, deeply meaningful to certain people, less so to others. There is the sad longing for eternity expressed in the Gregorian chants. There is the simple, pure kindness expressed in Buddhism. There is the joyful, powerful, but intensely personal devotion in Hindu chanting. There is the Jewish dedication to living in harmony with God's law. We see in Islam also a heroic surrender to the will of God. All these might be described as coming, in a sense, under the heading of what Yogananda called the romance of religion. The heady spirit in which devotees try to live divine truths without necessarily knowing what truth itself is. The paths to God vary widely according to the natures of individuals, and only superficially according to their different religious beliefs. Thus, Christians and Buddhists with a devotional nature direct their devotion differently, but the upward flow of energy from the heart is the same. Those with an active, serviceful nature may serve in the name of Jesus Christ, Buddha, or some other great teacher, but the principle of service, rather than centeredness in one's little self, is the same. People with a discriminating nature develop calmness and dispassion according to their religious systems, but in all cases the wisdom in the attitude they develop is one of calmness and dispassion. In every case, devotional people of the different religions resemble one another more closely than they do members of their own religion who follow the dissimilar paths of service or of discrimination. Christian monks feel a greater natural affinity with Buddhist or Hindu monks than with fellow Christian householders. The prayers and music, the serviceful attitude toward others, and calm attitudes of dispassionate wisdom more easily cross the apparent barrier of different religious beliefs within each group than even the differences between them and their fellow religionists. One extraordinary aspect of the Bhagavad Gita is its universality. Whatever the needs of any particular time or people, this great scripture addresses them all from the highest point of view. In Hinduism as a whole, indeed, no aspect of the truth is rejected. The Hindu teachings emphasize the universal way of living for high spiritual attainment. The Hindu teachings concern themselves much less with beliefs than with practices. They portray the struggles common to each ego on its long upward journey from ignorance to the light of self-realization. Thus, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is not specifically Hindu, it is all-embracing. Not only is it completely non-sectarian, but it shows people how even their worldly experiences can help them in the end spiritually, perhaps after many lifetimes, by weaving the threads of diverse human experience into the vast tapestry that comprises the story of every soul's journey to ultimate perfection in God. For this journey contains innumerable twists and turns. There is but one guideline that can give it right direction, the pole star of one's own innate divinity. The Bhagavad Gita points in this universally true direction.